up here, but he didn't. Well, it is good to be here again, and we appreciate this church. Every time we come, we end up discussing some of the things that happened probably before most of you or all of you were here. I've been coming to this church for a long, long, long time, and had some pretty good times with the Lord in this place, and we've had some since you've all come. And so I appreciate the Lord. Number one, I appreciate him taking my sin away.
Amen.
Saving me. He didn't,
sir.
You understand, he didn't have to do that.
Right.
Amen.
He was not obligated to save any of us.
That's exactly right.
When Adam fell in the garden, he could have wiped out humanity and still been a just God.
That's exactly right. Amen.
Amen. I think we ought to think about that as good old-fashioned Baptists. I think some people think that they deserve to be saved. The only thing we deserve to be is in hell.
That's right. That's
Amen.
Right, preacher. Amen.
And, but I'm glad. I remember a teenage boy when I was still in the Upper Peninsula of Michigan, and he'd gone through all the Awana years and years in the Awana program and had made a profession, and then he just knew he wasn't saved. Amen. There's a lot of people ought to come to the realization whether they are or they aren't saved.
Mm-hmm.
Amen. Once the church is gone, you're not going to have, Brother John put it just right pinpoint on the money this morning. When the rapture happens, you've heard the gospel, you're not going to heaven. You're not. But this young man come after service one day and he said, I had been filling in. And he said, preacher, when you get a chance after you're done shaking hands with people, I need to talk to you. And now listen, I've never been big into shaking hands with people. And if I miss your hand, I apologize right now. I'm just not big into that, especially if somebody wants to talk to you about something. And so we sat down in the second from the back pew, and he told me he was lost. And I said, you've come through the Awana program. You've made professions. And he said, but I never realized I was lost. And so I told him, I said, I can't save you. I can't even, listen. I don't know how anybody else does it. I just know how I do it. I'm not going to shove a Bible under your face and say, read this. And when you understand it, you can get saved. It's a spiritually discerned book. And until you get saved, you can't understand it. Amen. So I just said, you know, I'm gonna pray and ask the Lord to open your eyes, your heart, and for you to know just exactly what you need and how to get it. And buddy, it broke me when he prayed. He said, Lord, I know I don't deserve to have you save me. And that was it for me.
Yeah.
But he said, I'd appreciate it if you would. I'm talking about, do you understand that word appreciate? He said, I would appreciate it if you'd save me. I think we ought to appreciate the Lord saving us. I'm just saying this. The longer that I live, the more I understand he saved me from. It's not just hell. Amen. My wife and I, every day, we pass a restaurant. I won't tell you what kind it is or anything, but we pass that. And every morning, there are drunk people laying around that, homeless people laying around that, people probably without hope, and they don't want to hear what you got to say. They don't want to track. They want money so they can go get their next fix and their next drink. And unless God had saved me, that might be me.
That's right.
Laying beside that
That's
building.
Right, brother. That's right.
So I do appreciate the Lord saving me.
Right.
And how do you show people your appreciation? Not just by telling them, but by doing for them. If somebody did something for you, stopped and maybe helped you change a tire someday, and they said, you told them, I appreciate it. And the next time you went by and you saw them on the road with a flat tire and you just buzzed on by, I don't believe they'd think you really appreciated what they did for you when you had a flat. Do you understand? That's what we do to God.
Yeah.
More times than not. Open your Bibles with me if you would. Galatians chapter number 5. I try to get direction from the Lord, and there's sometimes, I'll put it this way, I really don't have notes again. I did that at the camp. I don't like that. But this has been on my heart for several years. Some things that have happened, some things that I've heard preached, and I just think we need to get it nailed down and be able to go on and live the Christian life. And I believe today there's a lot of people stymied in their Christian life because of what I'm going to preach on tonight. Galatians chapter number 5, and I'm interested in two verses, verse number 16 and 17. The Bible says, "This I say then, walk in the Spirit, and ye shall not fulfill the lust of the flesh. For the flesh lusteth against the Spirit, and the Spirit against the flesh, and these are contrary the one to the other, so that ye cannot do the things that you would." Our dear Heavenly Father, we do thank you, Lord, for the day, for what we heard this morning, for what we've heard this past week, Lord. What a blessing to be in a meeting, Lord, where it was just all about you. Lord, I pray that we'd get back to that again, where it is all about you and not about the preacher, not about the church, not about the even Baptist, Lord, but it would be about Jesus and your word. And Lord, help us tonight. Lord, I pray that you just fill my heart again with things that you would want me to say, Lord, that I wouldn't say things that I shouldn't. Lord, I pray that you'd help us be attentive for a little while. We thank you. We love you. We ask it all in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen.
I thought about this. I wrote down just a few things, and I'm interested today in people. And listen, I'm not interested in what everybody has to say. In the day in which we live, there are churches now, and I'm talking about independent Baptist churches, that when a man goes in, when that church is in need of a pastor, and a man goes into that church, they now want that man to sign a contract with him that he'll stay 2 or 3 years or whatever. And you say, well, that might not sound bad. Well, where does God come in to work there?
Yeah. Right.
The Lord sent Philip to that Ethiopian eunuch, did he not? And that Ethiopian eunuch, we
That's right.
No,
that's
no
right.
Presumptuous motives or anything involved, just doing what God wants us to do. But the thing about it is today, most people are not willing to, number one, know how to walk in the Spirit, but they're not willing to walk in the Spirit. It's so much easier to walk in the flesh.
That's right.
We know more about the flesh most times than we do the Spirit. Why? We walk in a world of flesh.
That's right. That's right.
And you have to dig in your Bible to learn and to motivate yourself and to ground yourself to be able to walk in the Spirit.
That's right.
And it's hard. There are times, Brother John, when I sit down with my Bible and I close it because it's too big. It's not in Greek. It's not in Hebrew. I'm talking about it's too big in the English.
Yeah.
Brother John said something this morning about Greek and Hebrew. I can understand that. I couldn't even. Listen, there's a lot of English words I don't get. And if you try to see how I write them, you wouldn't get them. Amen. My wife's a teacher, and I try not to look at her when I'm preaching because I don't want to know how many times I mess up the language. Amen. All I'm interested in is that I can get across to you that we need to, starting now, we need to every day make it a purpose in our life that we are going to walk today. The whole world, all of Baptists, all of religious people can walk how they want to, but I'm purposing right now to walk in the ways of God and in the will of God so that I can know what the Spirit is going to have me to do.
Hey, man.
I want to walk in the Spirit.
That's good, brother.
You say, well, I don't know about this starting now stuff. Well, if you don't start now, you're not going to start.
Mm-hmm.
Right. Amen? It's easy to put things off when it comes to spiritual things. Amen. We don't do that. But I'll say, I'm not kicking. But you know what? More people would miss church than would miss a wedding in their family.
Right. Boy, that's right. That's right.
I'm just saying, if you lay out a church, there's a good possibility that what was preached while you were missing was something that would help. And I'm not talking about you, Miss Audrey. I don't blame you, but I'm not going to. But what you miss is probably what is going to put the puzzle together to where you can walk that week in the Spirit.
That's good, bro. That's exactly right.
The will of God in your life.
I believe you're dead on, bro.
Because without that, you're going to continue to walk in the flesh, and you cannot fulfill the will of God in the flesh.
Right.
That's what the Bible says.
Yeah.
That's
yeah.
Not just, and this, listen, I'm saying this. I know enough, I have been around this country, and I'm not Superman or anything like that, but I have seen the decline in the spirituality and the spiritual walk in our churches, independent Baptist churches today that believe the King James Bible, and we are getting lazy on God.
Boy, that's right.
You cannot be lazy and walk in the Spirit. It takes work.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Right.
I don't know, brother, I don't understand these people. They get up and they say you can't get your message off the internet. I've never seen a message on the internet. Of course, I'm not on that. Facebook, if you all got Facebook, I'm not going to meddle. But I don't, am I on Facebook?
No.
Oh, well, some Facebook is okay.
Hey, man.
See? But I'm not talking about this. What I'm talking about is some of the junk that comes across.
Well, that's right.
There's times we'll be riding down the road, my wife will read something, and I'll look over and I'll say, why in this world would you ever read that to me? Mm. Well, because somebody said it, I wanted you to see how dumb it was. I said, next time you just take in what they said was dumb and tell me they're dumb and I'll agree with you and we'll be done.
Amen.
Don't read it to me.
Amen. Yes, sir.
Y'all get that?
Absolutely.
All of this stuff that's going on that they call good is not edifying. It's not helping us to walk the way
That's
we should.
Right, preacher.
Turn with me, if you would, over to Romans. Just a few verses I think are important here. Romans chapter number 7. But I want to read a verse in chapter number 6 also. Knowing this, in verse 6 of chapter 6, knowing this, that our old man is crucified with him. Paul, when he was saying, I die daily, he didn't say, I was going to be dead every day and then I'll be raised back up to life. That's not what he was saying. He's talking about crucifying the flesh so that he can walk in the spirit. And you know, I've heard a lot of people, now watch this. We've got to stop making these people in the Bible look so perfect. Because they weren't. Were they?
Right.
The Apostle Paul, we want to lift him up, and that's great. And listen, we've done that with a lot of preachers today. And a good part of them that we've lifted up and built them up, they're fallen.
Right.
So the key is, don't lift anybody up but the Lord. He cannot
Amen.
Fall.
Amen.
Amen. But Paul... He struggled the same as we did. He had a body. He was in the flesh. And things came on him. I'm talking about temptations. I'm talking about, he said, and the charge of the churches at that point, he was saying, there is a frustration in my body that I have to care for the churches that don't seem to care for the Lord, some of them. You read some. I'm in that church of Corinth. I wouldn't have wanted to be the pastor or co-pastor or assistant pastor or retired pastor or pastor emeritus or pastor that was just passing by that church. Amen. You read about the church of Corinth. I wouldn't have wanted to be anything with them. But Paul said, I love them. I care for them. I'm going to write to them. I'm going to warn them. I'm going to rebuke them. All that. He couldn't have done that in the flesh. But he said this. He said, knowing this, that our old man is crucified with him, that the body of sin might be destroyed, that henceforth we should not serve sin. And then over in Romans chapter number 7, now I want to begin at verse number 5. He says, for when we were in the flesh, the motions of sin, which were by the law, did work in our members to bring forth fruit unto death. But now we are delivered from the law, that being dead therein, we were held, or wherein we were held, that we should serve in the newness of spirit and not in the oldness of the letter. What shall we say then? Is the law sin? God forbid. Nay, I had not known sin, but by the law. For I had not known lust, except the law had said, thou shalt not covet. But sin, taking occasion by the commandment, wrought in me all manner of concupiscence. For without the law, sin was dead. For I was alive without the law once, but when the commandment came, sin revived and I died. Now, I know that's complicated. You have to think about some of that. But I'm going to try and explain it. Verse number 10, and the commandment which was ordained to life I found to be unto death. For sin, taking occasion by the commandment, deceived me, and by it slew me. Listen, was Paul saved? Absolutely. He never wrote a stitch of scripture when he was lost.
Exactly.
He was saved, and he's saying all this. And in a nutshell, what he's saying is, when I was doing what I thought I ought to do, I wasn't doing right, and then sin came up, and I found out that it was sin. Well, let me read the rest of it before I get you confused. Verse 12. Wherefore the law is holy... Wherefore the law is holy and the commandment holy and just and good. Was then that which is good made death unto me? God forbid. But sin, that it might appear sin, working death in me by that which is good, that sin by the commandment might become exceeding sinful. For we know that the law is spiritual, but I am carnal, sold under sin. I remember years ago I preached on that, the carnality of Paul, and I had a man come up to me and say, carnal people are lost people. And brother, I dug deep down inside of me, and all I could say is, well, you go tell the Apostle Paul that I'm not good. Amen. Paul's a saved man. That word carnal means worldly. Do you know that you can live worldly as a Christian? I didn't say you should. And I didn't say it's a good thing. Huh? And I'm not condoning sin. But I'm also telling you this. There are preachers that will preach that if you've ever done this, 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 or this, you're not saved. You're lost. So people go through their life doubting. Now, I'm not saying you ought to do this, 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 and this, and this.
Right.
But I'm saying if you do something wrong after you're saved, it didn't mean you were not saved.
Right.
It means you done walked out of that spiritual walk of a man and walked in the flesh. Paul is about ready to explain that. Verse number 15, he said, "For that which I do, I allow not. For what I would, that do I not. But what I hate, that I do. If then I do that which I would not, I consent unto the law that it is good. Now then it is no more I that do it, but sin that dwelleth in me." Wait a minute. How can there be sin dwelling in me if I'm a Christian? Up, that old man.
That's it.
There he is. You did not, listen at me now. When you got saved, you did not do away with that old man. All
That's
you
right.
did is make him mad.
Mm-hmm.
Right. Because now he is not in first place in your life.
Right.
God is, and he
right.
ain't. You understand that? And he's going to fight you every day to get you. Now that he cannot have your soul, he wants your testimony.
Right.
And if you're not careful, he'll have.
The
probably the strongest Christian that ever walked in shoe leather, right here, Paul, just told us the things that he would do, he didn't do. And the things that he wouldn't do, he did do. Now, how can that be? And then he said, it's no longer I, but sin that dwelleth in me. And then he said in verse number 18, "For I know that in me, that is in my flesh, dwelleth no good thing. For the will is present with me to do what I'm supposed to follow God, to love God like he ought to be loved, to live the Christian life." He said that is present with me, but how to perform it, that which is good I find not. "For the good that I would I do not, but the evil which I would not, that I do." Brother John, explain that to me.
Yeah.
I don't want to do things that are not right. I want to serve God every day.
Amen.
I agonize to know him more so that I can serve him like I should. And it's just elusive to me. I do not understand that. I thought as a Christian, I ought to be able and read my Bible. I read my Bible every day. I love coffee. I know there's at least two of us in here that love coffee. But I don't even have a cup of coffee in the morning before I read my Bible.
Right.
I don't want to put that ahead of God. If you do, that's fine. I'm not. But that's me. You say, why? Because I want to know more about him so that I can live more for him and live more like him. And yet every day something comes up that I find myself getting off track and I say, God, I don't know why this happens to me. And I get burdened with that sin on my back. And as I go through the day, I confess things to the Lord. But you know, there's times that I... Listen, if you don't work with your wife, sometimes that's a blessing.
Amen.
Whoops. There's some people in trouble in this place. But I work with my wife every day. We are together every day. We get up at 4 in the morning. We go to work. Then because of noise ordinance, we can't usually start till 7. We start at 7. She starts practicing what I know the Bible says.
Yeah.
this time you spoke to her like that, and she's God's child. God loves her dearly, and you spoke to her that way.
Mm-hmm. Wow.
This side of me says she deserved it. This side of me says,
oops.
Really?
Yeah.
And so that battle goes on, and until I get that thing right there and there, I can't do anything. Mm. For to will, the will to do good. Listen, you got sin in your life like that, you can have the desire to do God's will all you want to, and you will not be able to until you get things right between him and whoever it is you're mad at or you've sinned against. You understand? This Christian life is not for sissies.
That's right.
It is a tough life. Let me finish reading this. In verse number 20, now if I do that which I would, it is no more I that do it, but sin that dwelleth in me. I find then a law. Now watch this. I find then a law. What is a law? It's something that is stamped down somewhere. It is a principle. Some of you don't understand, probably, and know that those signs out there that say speed limit 55 or whatever, there are several people that don't think those are a law, but they are.
Mm-hmm.
That's why I like South Dakota. Ours say 80. I like 80.
Glory.
Amen. I can get across that state a whole lot quicker than y'all can here. Amen. And I like getting across this state. But he said, I find then a law that when I do good. All right, anybody in here ever try to do good? And you want to do good? Nobody? Oh, there's some. Okay. He said, I find then a law that when I would do good, evil is present with me.
That's right.
You know what that is? It's not always the devil. I think there's only like five times I've counted that the devil really got on people in the Bible himself personally. The other times he just sends one of his imps. And they get the job done most times.
Right.
But he said, when you set out to do good, when you set out to do what's right, when you set out to hand out a tract, when you set out to witness to somebody, then that evil is right there with you. And they, a lot of times that evil is going to remind you, number one, of your past.
That's true.
You'll say, you're going to go tell them about him. Do you remember what you did? Do you remember how you've been? Yeah, you're going to tell them about the Lord and how good the Lord is and how he blesses you when they
That's right. Amen.
Can I bring out maybe a name? Can I do that? It's on Facebook.
Sure.
You know what? If they hear me, that's fine.
Tom.
There was a man named David. And that David, it was said about him that he was a man after God's own heart.
Right.
Was he not?
Right.
And then after he was a man after God's own heart, he just lived the rest of his life perfectly. When you mention David to most people, they don't tell you about the bear that he grabbed by the beard. That's why.
No.
They won't tell you about the lion that he killed. They won't tell you about Goliath. They'll go right to Bathsheba.
Yeah.
What we do in our life when we mess up, now watch, when we mess up, this is why God wants us to stay close to him and walk in his will, because people will remember your faults a whole lot more than they'll remember your.
That's right.
What you do right.
That's right. Amen.
So if we keep the fault list short and the glory less long, we'll be a lot better.
Yeah. Amen.
Right.
But David sins with Bathsheba, and it seems to me in Psalm 51, he said, Lord, I've lost my salvation, so I need to get it back again.
No.
That's not what he said. I thought that was in the Greek.
No.
Hebrew?
No.
English?
Not the King James. No, sir.
Not even in the King James.
No, no, sir.
No. No, he said, restore unto me the joy, of thy salvation. So, if he didn't ask for salvation back, and he only asked for the joy back, must be what didn't he lose?
Amen.
Salvation. Right. But he lost the joy.
That's right.
Do you get to shout when you've done things that you know are against God and against his will? No. But when you fess that up to him, you get your joy back.
Amen.
Right. When you get your joy back, you get your shout back.
Yeah.
I'm afraid. Now listen, I'm just afraid. There's absolutely no reason in an independent Baptist church today, when the gospel's preached, when songs are sung like that, there's absolutely no reason there shouldn't be some shouting. I'm not trying to prime shout. I live in an area that you have to teach them how to shout. They ain't got a clue.
That's right.
Mm-hmm.
Amen? And that doesn't bother me at all.
Right.
Because right. I shout enough for everybody. Amen? But I'm saying David needed his joy back. The salvation the Lord imparted to him was never in question.
That's right.
Now you know David didn't just mess up with Bathsheba.
Right.
He put a hit out on somebody.
Right.
On a faithful soldier. Not only, I mean, he tried to cover it up, and then he put the hit out and tried to cover that up. And God said, David, you know what? I'm going to let you live, but I'm taking that baby home.
Yeah.
That baby got to go sit in the very presence of God the Father.
That's right. That's
and God
right.
the Son. And
yeah,
David
yeah.
had to continue to suffer down here.
That's right.
We better watch. Why? Why did things like that happen? Because, and in our life it happens because we have two natures. And they're fighting against one another. And one wants to win.
That's
and the
right.
other wants to win.
That's right.
They don't want to lose. You say, which one do you think will come out more? Well, I know which one will. I do. It's the one that you feed the most.
That's right.
You have Sunday school for an hour. You have an hour morning service. You have an hour night service. You have an hour Wednesday service. You might. What do you have all together? An hour of prayer before, or whatever, combined in them services. So you figure it out. How many hours are there in a week? And how many hours do you spend in the house of God? And then put that together with how many hours do you spend on your own reading the Bible. Now, I'm just telling you, I would imagine in most people's life, the world has a lot more of your time than the Lord has.
That's right. That's right.
I'm not trying to beat you up on that. I'm just saying that's why we need to really stockpile what we can know about the Lord. Get it in our head and in our heart. He said, "Thy word have I hid in my heart that I might not sin against thee." So if we get it hidden in our heart, we'll not sin against God. If we walk in the Spirit, we'll not fulfill the lust of the flesh. All of that we need in us because this world has so much pull. And that old man says, "You know, I just need to get you away from church. I need to get you out of here." That old man is saying, you're hungry. That old man will plant thoughts in your head about, hey, I have to do this right after church. I have to run to the store. And far be it from me to okay and put my approval on if you have to go to that one that starts with a W. I hate that place. But they've got so much pull. I remember walking into a gas station one time that was in our hometown in Michigan. And it's just amazing to me. Do you know where they put the pornography magazines and stuff? Right down here where the kids' eyeballs.
That's wicked.
Don't tell me they weren't trying to get
that's
it
that's wicked.
Huh? That's why I believe young people ought to be in church.
Get
them while they're young. Let me go on with what Paul said. He said, "For I delight," in verse 22, "for I delight in the law of God after the inward man. But I see another law in my members, warring against the law of my mind and bringing me into captivity to the law of sin, which is in my members. Oh, wretched man that I am, who shall deliver me from the body of this death?" If we left it right there, we would have to say, where is the hope? Where's the relief? What am I get? Who can I trust? But I'm glad he put another verse in there. He said, "I thank God through Jesus Christ our Lord. So then with the mind, I myself serve the law of God, but with the flesh, the law of sin." I think Paul spelled it out really good, didn't he? We know how to do what's right by following Christ, by following the Word, by being close to Him, by walking in the Spirit. But when we let down, the flesh is right there to take control just as quick as it can. Now, we went over to Dublin 5 weeks. I'm just going to ask you, sister, did you plant those weeds? Never learned how to dance, okay? What a blessing. Yeah. Amen. I did some things one time to show a little move that I saw somebody do one time, and after service we're in the truck and my wife said, "Don't you ever do that again." So it must have been pretty bad. But you see these little kids, I mean, they'll go in a store and a song will play. I mean, look, and they'll be moving. I'm talking about their bones have got to be made out of rubber.
I'm telling you.
You say, how's that happen? The pull of this world. And if we're not careful, I watch people, and you know I'm telling it right. Some of us that listened to some of that junk when we were younger, you walk into that W place, and they've got junk on, I bet. It was the last time I was in there, which was 15 years ago. And you'll see people's lips moving, Christians' lips moving to that song.
Yeah, yeah.
Right. Comes back, yeah, sure does.
Right. That's right. You say, what's it doing? That's that pull of the world. And if you're not careful, you said this morning, it'll get you right back there before you even want it to, before you even realize. Huh? I know people that used to be drunkards, and they got saved. Go out and you ought to go. Listen, I'm just saying this. I believe that if we get into sin after we're saved, God has no obligation to protect us here. Mm. What I mean is he could take us home just like that.
That's right.
We'd still get to go home.
Right.
But we wouldn't have anything to give him. We ought to stay in his word and get that in our heart and put that new man in the place where he's supposed to be. And I do. I believe this. When you're close to God, I know we're not saved by feeling. We're not kept by feeling. But when you're close to God like that and you're in his perfect will, and you're praying and you're asking him to keep you in perfect harmony with him, and you're reading his word, there's something happens, and that feeling is beyond anything else.
Amen.
That you've ever had.
Amen.
And I like it.
Right.
That's where I'm going to stay. I don't always.
Mm-hmm.
I don't always. I've walked out of God's will many, many, many times. And I've never been happy when I have.
Right.
Oh, what joy it is when I can
no waiting period. There's no, I'm going to watch you till next time. He says, come on back into my joy and have your joy back.
Amen.
He never intended us to walk around like we had no hope.
That's right.
And that's what we do when we sin, when we have things in our life that are not in His perfect will. It never means He doesn't love us. Doesn't mean He doesn't care for us. It means we've messed up. And I'm glad 1 John 1:9 is in the Bible.
Yes, sir.
It was not written for lost people. It's written to save people.
Amen.
We confess our sins. He's faithful. He. And up there singing about.
Amen.
He is faithful and just.
Yes, sir.
To forgive us our sins.
Thank you. Amen.
All.
Thank God for that.
All. Is there anything you can do to make God not love you? Not one. Because there wasn't nothing you could do to make Him love you.
Right.
Right.
I'm about ready to jump.
Amen.
I'm just saying, I'm glad He loves me even when I'm bad. Amen?
Amen.
You don't have to obey this flesh. You don't. I don't have to obey this flesh. There is a way that we can walk and obey the Spirit. But you got to get in here. Every day. Our dear Heavenly Father, we do again thank You. Lord, You're so good to us all the time, even when we're not good to You. Lord, thank You for being faithful to us. Thank You for teaching us how we can be faithful. Lord, again, thank You for saving us. Lord, I pray that You'd just help tonight now. Lord, I pray that You'd bless, that You'd work in our lives to where we would be able to have joy every day and stay in Your will. Walk the way You want us to walk. We do love You again. We do thank You in Jesus' name. Amen.